The deep state forces behind the United Nations and the Biden administration are waging total war on the family. And this is a critical component of their effort to destroy the old order and bring in a new totalitarian global order. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I am your host, Alex Newman. It is an incredible honor to have you with us today. If you're not yet subscribed to The New American, you need to be. TheNewAmerican.com. TheNewAmerican.com. You can get the print magazine. Comes out twice a month. And also our daily headlines, absolutely free in your inbox. And folks, if you want to be well informed, if you want to understand the times that we live in and find out, more importantly, what you can do about it, go sign up now at TheNewAmerican.com. Folks, you probably noticed that there is just this total war right now being waged against families, against marriage, against moms, against dads, right? Toxic masculinity. Dads are terrible, evil. They need to be checked, right? The patriarchy is just the most evil thing on this side of eternity. And we see all the different tentacles of the deep state waging this war, right? You've got the governments of the world promoting this, the government education system, the media, the entertainment so-called complex, non-governmental organizations, and of course, the United Nations. They promote divorce, they promote promiscuity, they promote adultery. Now they're openly promoting homosexuality and transgenderism. They're doing this on purpose, and it's all by design. It's not an accident. They understand full well what they are doing. Now, to go back to the very beginning, it was actually God's idea to ordain the family. It's one of the first things that we read about in the Bible. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, right in the very, very beginning, we see that God ordained marriage and family before any other human institution. Right? Starting in verse 20 in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "The man gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. And then he said, 'This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" And God goes on to say in verse 24, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So right there, one of the first things God does is he creates marriage and he creates the family, right? So mother and father produce children. Those children grow up. They are taught and instructed by their parents. And then what? Then the children go off. They find a spouse. Right? Man finds a woman, woman finds a man, and they will cleave to each other and they will become one flesh, right? So this is not a human institution. This is an institution that God ordained before anything else, long before civil government, long before church government, God ordained family government. And he also gives really clear instructions on how this institution should operate, how it is so critical to his design. It's really the foundation, the building block of society, right? And of course, evildoers understand this as well. In Luke chapter 6, we read, "The students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who's fully trained will become like the teacher." So under the biblical model, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 11, parents are teaching their children about God when they wake up, when they're walking, by the way, when they're eating, etc. Under the world model, parents have the children, maybe you can keep them for a few weeks, then you hand them over to government daycare, then the government will do the rest for you, right? 5 days, 7-8 hours a day, plus homework. They're going to be learning about what an idiot you are, about how silly God and even the idea of God is. And folks, what's happening here is sexual revolutionaries in the West, totalitarians in the West, have understood that destroying the family would be absolutely critical to advancing their evil agenda. They knew that as long as families were having children and parents were teaching their children their values, their culture, their traditions, their religion, they could not kind of take over. And so over a century ago, some of these weirdos started coming out of the closet and admitting what they were doing. One of the guys that I have looked at, atheist, so-called psychiatrist, Dr. Wilhelm Reich, he had described himself, by the way, as a Freudo-Marxist. He was a member of the Communist Party, an associate of Sigmund Freud. And he actually referred to the sexual revolution, that was his term, not as an end in and of itself, but rather a means to an end. And that end, by the way, was obliterating the family, which itself was a means to another end, the destruction of religion and culture and values and morality and all the rest of it. Ultimately, Wilhelm Reich hoped that by destroying the family, you could break down Western civilization. And his goal was really to destroy that transmission belt, right, where parents would raise their children and they would teach them about what came before, the history, et cetera, et cetera. So his goal was to interrupt that process, to destroy that transmission belt through which values, culture, and civilization were passed on from one generation to the next. And the goal of that, of course, was to basically have the government then take over and paint on what they thought would be a blank canvas, right? The minds of these children. If they didn't have their pesky parents getting in the way, then the totalitarians could come in and prepare those parents. And Reich was open about this. He strongly encouraged the use of quote-unquote sex education in schools to, in his words, I'm quoting here, divest parents of their moral authority. That's exactly what's happening right now, folks. It's exactly what's happening. And so as the family was destroyed, as the church was weakened, then the government could come in and basically replace those institutions, fill that vacuum with state power. And of course, they've been pretty open about this, right? I'm going to share with you just now a clip of one of these sexual revolutionaries. These are some trans activists, and you're going to hear New York University's Kay Gabriel talking about why this transgenderism and the sex revolution, so-called, is so incredibly important to this broader agenda of bringing in total tyranny and of wiping away the old and bringing about the news. So listen to this discussion by these woke trans activists.
Why do we say that trans liberation calls for communist revolution?
Starting with the big one. Okay, I'm gonna leap on this first, but then I promise I will take a backseat. You know, the dominant, liberal bourgeois reframing of trans liberation as trans rights and recognitions, kind of say based in supposedly successful pattern of, like, say, gay liberation transformed into rights and recognitions realized at the level of the state in some places, not everywhere. We make the claim that not only is this insufficient, but that pouring our energy into this thing is actually not going to get us what we want or what we need. This kind of economic transformation that would be a kind of communist horizon, right? A world in which everyone has what they need. So why does this immediately matter to trans people? Well, what do trans people in our particularity have to say or to offer that expands the universalism of a communist society, right? Which is to say, one that would be achieved in time through processes and events that we could call revolutionary, that we would have to call revolutionary because they would require the abolition of society as it currently is. That when we demand, like, society be rearranged in certain ways, this is a part of the project.
All right, folks, I hope that was all crystal clear for you, right? Why does trans liberation require communist revolution? They are demanding that society be fundamentally transformed, fundamentally rearranged. This isn't about trans rights, right? This is about communist revolution. This is about totalitarianism. This is about completely restructuring life on this planet, starting with abolishing the family. And if you think about it, this trans agenda is especially nefarious, right? With the homosex revolution that we had starting kind of in the 90s, materializing fully in 2015 with the Supreme Court's decision on homosexual marriage, they said, well, two moms, two dads, you know, no big deal, right? Having no father, that's not a big deal. Having no mother, that's no big deal because you got two moms or, you know, you got two dads, so you don't really need a mom. Of course, that's ridiculous. We all know that children need their moms and their dads. But this trans agenda is even more destructive of the family because not only do you not need mom and dad, there is no mom and dad, right? Gender is a social construct. You could be whatever you want. There are no mothers. There are no fathers. You could be a non-binary whatever. And if you have no mothers and you have no fathers, then of course you have no family at all. Stay with us. We're going to come back from this break in just a moment and keep breaking this down, folks. The United Nations is at the core of this wicked agenda. We'll be right back with more here on Behind the Deep State.
I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa. Who knows what would come out of that?
It isn't the Constitution that's the problem. It is the people who ignore the Constitution.
What we need are just more people that would read the one we have.
It's up to us to hold our elected officials accountable.
Who understand the Constitution and are willing to take a stand when necessary.
Welcome back. Alex Newman here, senior editor at The New American. This is Behind the Deep State. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we went to break, we were talking about how this sex revolution is really aimed at destroying the family. Folks, the UN is right at the center of this process, and you see it so clearly in what they're doing, right? You can start with the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the 2030 agenda. You go to goal number 4, and they're very clear. It says by 2030, and I'm reading right from the goals in goal 4. By 2030, ensure that all girls and boys have access to quality early childhood development, care, and pre-primary education so that they're ready for primary education, right? We got to get them young. Stay tuned. We'll come back to that. And then they go on to say that by 2030, you need to ensure that all learners acquire the knowledge and skills needed, not just to submit to these wicked ideas like sustainable development, et cetera, but to promote them. Right? And here's some of the things that they need to promote according to the UN Sustainable Development Goals. They need to promote sustainable lifestyles, right? Well, they think there are too many people on the planet for sustainability. They need to promote gender equality, which is really a UN buzzword, which means smash the patriarchy, destroy the family, liberate women from the oppression of motherhood and the home and their husbands. And basically make them the same, right? Get the women out of the home so that the government can then have the children, as they say right before that, in early childhood development and care. That's what they're going for, folks. They want women out of the homes so that children will be out of the homes in the hands of the government. And that is what they're doing, right? And they say they have to promote global citizenship and diversity and all the rest of it. So you know, and I know, that the UN is obsessed with the idea that there are too many people on this planet. In fact, they have a whole agency, the UN Population Fund, dedicated to that abominable proposition. Of course, the UN Population Fund has been exposed helping to perpetrate forced abortions in China. And you go back into the history of the UN, you find the Rockefellers, right? Huge supporters of eugenics, this racist pseudoscience, holding that some races are better than other races. In fact, the first head of UNESCO, Julian Huxley, was also the head of the Eugenics Society in the United Kingdom. So these are monstrous people who have horrific views, and they understand that going after the children is the way to move this agenda forward, right? UN LGBT czar Vitit Muntabhorn, in a 2017 interview with an Argentinian newspaper, actually said that to change people's minds in favor of these new sexual mores, and I'm quoting here, he says, it's so important to start working with young people. The younger, the better, right? And they are absolutely dead serious. You may have heard Joe Biden's recent ridiculous State of the Union talk. I want to play this for you so you can get a sense of where this is going. This was just a couple months ago, less than that.
And I, like I suspect all of you, want to give a child, every child, a good start by providing access to preschool for 3 and 4 years old.
For 3 and 4 year olds, right? So now the government's got to get the kids. The federal government needs to fund preschool for 3 and 4 year olds, right? It's not enough to get them in first grade when they're 7. Now we need them when they're 3 or 4 years old. And folks, eventually they want to get parents completely out of the picture, right? They don't even believe that parents ought to be the primary stakeholder in the education of their children. And they say so, right? Here is the current Secretary of Miseducation, Miguel Cardona, being grilled in a Senate hearing by a U.S. senator. Listen to this exchange.
Fairly quick answers here because I want to get to Secretary Becerra. Do you think parents should be in charge of their child's education as the primary stakeholder?
I believe parents are important stakeholders, but I also believe
primary
educators have a role in determining educational programming.
And I think that's going to be a little out of focus, what I think you're going to find across all elements of education. Since they pay the bills, they raise the kids, they probably need to be the primary spokespeople for their own kids' good education.
Yeah. And there you have it, folks. The current Secretary of Education doesn't even think you are the primary stakeholder in the education of your children, right? Government educators, the professionals, will be in charge of that. Now, here's Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, spent 7 years at the helm of the national education regime in the United States during Barack Obama. Listen to this man talking about what he is up to.
And there are certain kids we should have 24/7 to really create a safe environment and give them a chance. I think all of our schools should be community centers. Our schools should be open 12, 13, 14 hours a day with a wide variety of after-school programming.
Yeah, so some of them we need 24/7. The rest we need to have them in after-school programming 12, 13, 14 hours a day. And they're starting to say this on TV, right? Here's MSNBC. This is Melissa Harris Perry talking about how children don't belong to their parents. They belong to the collective, right?
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Folks, they want you out. Right. They want you out. And actually, they have some documents where they talked about this at the end of the Obama administration. They called parents equal partners in the raising of their own children. Now, to go back to the UN for a moment, in 2018, I wrote an article for The New American about UNESCO's, here's what they call it, the International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education. It is unbelievable. Right? They want to teach 5-year-olds about things that I can't say here. They want 9-year-olds to know all sorts of things that I can't mention here. They want, you can't even say these things on the radio because they're so wicked. They're so evil. I mean, teaching 5-year-old children things that cannot be mentioned, that are so shameful and so wicked. And of course, they have a lot of domestic sex ed curricula that are similarly disgusting and grotesque that align quite well with the UN's vision, right? One of the ones we have in the U.S. that's very widely used in public schools is the 3 R's, rights, respect, and responsibility. It's created by a revolutionary sex group called Advocates for Youth. It's a partner of the abortion giant Planned Parenthood. And they start telling kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, that girls can have male genitalia. Obviously, this is totally false, but that's what they tell people. They have another curriculum they call Teaching Tolerance. This comes from the far left hate group, Southern Poverty Law Center. And they say things, again, that are just incredible. They promote this book for children called 10,000 Dresses to promote transgenderism to children. They're now openly telling kindergarten kids that they might have been born in the wrong body and that castration will solve this for them. And the foundation of all this, it goes back to this pervert, Alfred Kinsey, who molested, him and his buddies molested huge numbers of children. They took detailed so-called notes, and they put this in Kinsey's book. And folks, it gets so dark. It gets so degenerate. But understand, this is a war on the family. They want parents out because they want to brainwash the children without any interference from parents or the church. They want all control over the minds and ultimately the hearts and souls of children. Now, if you value liberty, if you value civilization, if you value the family, you need to recognize this is an existential threat. This isn't just about parental rights, and parental rights are important, but this is much bigger than that. They aim to not just undermine your rights, but to completely smash the family and leave the government entirely in control over the next generation. And if and when they succeed on that, liberty is done. Civilization is done. And they're telling you this, folks. William Dwyer, James Dwyer, law professor at William and Mary, he says the only reason the parent-child relationship even exists is because the state confers this on them through its paternity and maternity laws. That is obviously not true. Any parent knows that. But this is the reigning ideology among the people who are setting policy across much of the country and even at the federal level. We have to stop them, folks. We have to stop them. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.